Lord. His wounds has paid my ransom. We can't forget these things. We can't forget that. I was thinking about the many things that we have remembered, or our people, our forefathers have remembered to motivate them. In World War II, it was remember Pearl Harbor. That motivated a lot of the soldiers because of the death of so many and the suffering of so many. When Texas was fighting for their freedom after the Alamo they laid siege on the Alamo, and all them, Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie and all of them had got killed, they fought a battle against Santa Ana right after the Alamo when they beat Santa Ana. I think what the battle was like 18 minutes long or something like that. And the cry that went out from the guys when they charged Santa Ana was, "Remember the Alamo." And it was all because of the sacrifice. If there's ever a call for us, it ought to be remember Calvary. Remember what Christ has done. And that ought to make our blood run hot because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now that brings us right into chapter 3. And so we want you to look there at your old paper, and we'll see if we can't get on down through the scripture there. All right, should be the back side. At the very top of your paper should have verse 1. It ought to be the paper we're looking at. It ought to have bold print. Verse 1, "For this cause." That's the paper I want you to look at. And then the new one will have Ephesians 3, 13 through 21. All right? But we're going to look at the paper from last week just for a little bit. All right? Now, I want to refresh your mind just a little bit as we look here in Ephesians 3. And I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 21. Okay? Is everybody all right with that? Talk to me if you're ready. Ephesians 3, let's read together. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, that's chapter 3. And we started out, of course, verse 1, and showed you Paul, who was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He didn't count himself a prisoner because of Christ. He counted him a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He took it in stride. The tribulations didn't bother him. The bonds didn't bother him because it was purposed. He used the bonds, all right, as a door to get the gospel to the Gentiles. He used that in Rome. He used that to get to Rome. At any time, he could have told them who he was, what all was really going on, his lineage, everything, and they would have let him go free. He chose not to because of the gospel's sake. He did not seek freedom. All right, he sought the spreading of the gospel. Somebody understand that? He didn't seek comfort. That was not on his mind. The gospel was what was on his mind because of what God had revealed to him. And we looked at a lot of that there last week. And we looked at all them scriptures there that showed that the gospel was not just given to the Jew, not even in the beginning. It was not intended that way, all right? That it was always intended before there was even a world that the Lamb would be slain, Christ, God would put on the robe of flesh, come in the form of Christ, die for the sins of the whole world, not just a Jew. Because you got to remember, there weren't a Jew till Abraham's children. Abraham was a Gentile. He turned, if you would, as being the first Jew. But he was a Gentile from a heathen land. So everybody before Abraham were Gentiles. So there was a gospel given to them before Abraham. And then Abraham even had a Calvary. Abraham's Calvary there in Genesis 22. Is everybody still okay with me? Now that's what Paul was telling the church here at Ephesus, how all this took place. And we'll look at it here in just a moment more. He said, now there was a mystery. The old prophets didn't see it as we see it. Now, he did not say they didn't see it. All right? Let's look at verse 5. 4 and 5. It says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge. Now, Paul said, now listen, I want you to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which is the church, which is one new man, which is Jew and Gentile together. One body, all right? Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed. It didn't say they didn't know, it just they didn't understand it, all right? It ain't that they wasn't told it. They didn't understand it as Paul understood it, okay? Does everybody follow me? As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. How? By the Spirit. Okay? So, it's not a new gospel. I want everybody to understand it. It's not nothing new. The gospel didn't come to us because the Jews rejected it. That ain't why we got the gospel. If they had accepted the gospel, that does not mean we'd all went to hell. It don't mean that. Everybody follow me? Now, the reason being is because you got to be very careful of what's being taught in the world concerning replacement theories of becoming Jews and everything else that the church takes on all the Jewish promises. That's not Bible. The only promises that a Jew got is an earthly promise. Heavenly promises come through Christ and the blood of the cross. And there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. Everybody understand that? So the earthly promises for a Jew is all earthly promises. Does everybody follow me? Now, and you say, why is that? Why do you dwell on that so much? Well, it's because of the false doctrine that's taught. Okay? Does everybody follow me? Now, Let's look. I got written down there, verse 2, 6, 7, and 8 all go together because it explains the mystery and how Paul was made a minister. So let's look at verse 7 just for an example. Let's look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. All right? See, all through the Bible, Brother Rick has taught us in Genesis. All through the Bible, Genesis was written, and Abraham, the patriarch, it was written for a lineage to get us Christ. That was the purpose. That's how he taught. All right? Christ did come. But yet Simeon says in Luke chapter 2 that he comes to light the way of the Gentile. So it was then, you understand, it wasn't just because of an afterthought or a mistake. Is everybody listening to me? We want to make sure we don't think about God making a mistake or having an afterthought. If he's got an afterthought, he's not God. Are you understanding me? If he has a reaction, he's not God. He only has an action. Does everybody follow me? He's so mighty, so perfect and pure of all knowledge, of omnipotent and omniscience and omnipresence everywhere at one time, everywhere. Nothing occurs to him. All right? So there was no mistake. The church didn't come about because the Jews rejected Christ. It was already God's plan how things would go to make one new man, Jew and Gentile. He made the Jew to be identified for holiness, to walk his life holy before God. That's still a great example. All right? It's still a great example. But the body of Christ has always been in God's mind because that's why the Lamb was slain. Does everybody understand that? Now listen to me. We got to go all the way back. Does everybody follow me? We got to go all the way back to Adam. When Adam needed a wife and he was put to sleep, and out of his side was taken a rib, and Eve come. Yeah. All right? It was a picture of Christ dying on Calvary, put to sleep, if you would. And out of his side where the blood run out is where the church was birthed. It was from the very beginning that God had a plan to make him a body and a bride by Jesus Christ. Everybody follow me? So when we read this, we're not looking at a mistake or because a reaction of God. This has been God's plan, and all of it was to show the holiness of God and the purity of God and the greatness of God in taking unfit people and making them new in Christ, to making a bride and a body for him for all eternity, as trophies of the marvelous grace of God. Yeah. Is everybody following me? Yeah. Now, that's what all this is saying. All right? Does everybody understand what I said? Is that simple? To me, it's very simple. Now, let's look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Of what? Of the same body. And partakers of his promise. Look where it's at. In Christ how? By the gospel. Alright, are we still okay? Now look at verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, it says. Paul was made a minister. He didn't choose to go because he hated the church. He hated everybody. And God saved him. And God saved him, then called him to preach and made him a minister to the Gentile. Go back and read in Acts 9 and you'll see where the Lord told Ananias that he was going again, lighten the way of the Gentile. And then Paul stood before Agrippa and said that he was going to lighten the way of the Gentile. Yeah. That was why he came. Right. And we go back Well, when did Paul do that? Well, if we go back, he wasn't the first one to do it. Peter was. When he went to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. I just want you to understand that wasn't no mistake on God's part. And it wasn't no because of a failure. But an infinite, pure, holy God had a plan to get me and you to be with Him. Ain't that wonderful? Think about that. To me, that's exciting. That we get to go. That we get involved in it. What would y'all do if it was for the Jew only? Huh? Ain't none of us going. Huh? That's why it means so much. All right? Of course, now there's neither Jew nor Greek. The two have made one body. The twain, one new man. It said, are we still okay? Now, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Ain't that wonderful? I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. Now what was he going to preach? See, there's no law being preached. Okay? There's no law being preached. It's the gospel. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's Christ is preached. Why? Because there's no salvation in the law. It was a standard for walking a holy life. Had nothing to do with an eternal home in heaven. The law was made to live a pure life. And if you keep the law, that's a pretty good pure life. But there's no salvation in it. Because there's only salvation in the blood. Does everybody follow me? Now, everybody still good? So we look over at our paper, we see the revelation was made known unto Paul. All right, and Paul says he knows what he's talking about in verse 4, verse 5. We done looked at them scriptures there where it was not understood, but it was known. Because Isaiah preached about the Gentiles being brought in. All right, so it was nothing new. All right, verse 9, all right, and to make all men see. All right, to make all men see. Now, to me, these verses are vitally important because it's not for a select few. It's that all men might see. It's not for a select few. It's not just for a Jewish people, but it's not for this one and that one don't, that is not chosen or that's not elected. That ain't the way it is. It's that all men might see. All right? Are we still okay? And to make all men see, verse 9, what is the fellowship of the mystery? Now this mystery again is the church, the body of Christ. One of the songs we sung, Take Time to Be Holy. And it talks about making friends of God's children. Did you notice that when you sung it? Take time to be holy. Make friends with God's children. Now, why would that be necessary? You'd think we automatically would, but we don't. We got to be holy to do it. You hearing me? Because if we're not holy, then we're going to let things separate us. Are you listening to what I'm saying? All right? To make all men see that what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now look what the verse says in verse 9. Which one, since from when the beginning of the world have been hid in God. That body, the church, was from the beginning. Everybody see that? Yeah. It's being hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Yeah. Right? To the intent, verse 10, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It again is for a testimony for the marvelous grace of God that all of heaven will see how great God is. Yeah. See, we got such a false concept of heaven. We've got such a false concept of eternity and what we're going to be doing. We're not going to be cohabitating like we do here. We're not moving into houses with husbands and wives and children. That we're not doing that. That's not Bible. That's humanism. All right, we're going there and we have dwelling places, yes, but it's for the glory of Christ. Right. For we're married to one husband, Christ, right. And we're His bride. Yeah, yeah. We're not one another's bride, but we're His bride together, yeah, that we might stand as trophies of the marvelous grace of God, that all the heaven and angels and all people will stand and glory into the drunkards and the harlots and the dope heads that come together in the purity and righteousness of Christ to form a bride for a holy God that does no sin, has never sinned, to walk and to be like Him, clothed in white raiment, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's what we are tonight, children. That's why we got to shout. That's why we got something that burns in our soul, because of who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ, by Christ and the blood of Christ. Do you understand that? That's why the songs mean something, and the Word of God means something, and the blood of Christ means something. For I'm in Christ, and we're equal. We're nobody any better than the other. For we're all, the believer is the bride of Christ to one holy God. Are you listening to me? Think about that. That's why this is so important. Are you hearing me? That's why this is so important. And I hope you're understanding what I'm telling you. Look at verse 11 then. According to the eternal purpose. You see, it didn't just happen. It's an eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus. That was why He came. That's why He came. He come for us. He come for us. Couldn't go to Him, Rick. Oh, but He come to me. Couldn't. I wasn't allowed in. I wasn't allowed in. So He come to me. Huh? They took Him outside the city gate. Why did they take Him outside? Why didn't they just crucify Him in Jerusalem? Why didn't they crucify Him in the city? You ever wonder? Huh? Because it would have just been for them. They crucified Him outside the streets, so everybody that passed by, everybody could see. Everybody was allowed at. They might put Him somewhere in the city. Everybody wasn't allowed. But outside the gate, everybody was allowed. Huh? I know it was a hill called Mount Calvary, but I believe the ground was level all around the cross. And ain't no big eyes or little U's. Ain't no big sinners or little sinners, just sinners. And we all come to Christ the same. Huh? Are we okay? To me, this is the very root. This is why we can rejoice. This is why there's supposed to be unity in the body, in mind. Like I told you Sunday, if I mash my right hand, I don't say, well, you deserve to be under that cinder block, you stupid thing. No, my other hand takes and rubs and tries to help the hand that's hurt. That's the body of Christ. Are you hearing me? Talk to me. That's what we're about. And we're all going to stand cleansed and made holy, pure and white. Go back over and read Revelation 19, that the righteous of the saints, that their white robes, they're arrayed and married off to Christ. Huh? The married supper of the Lamb. Huh? For His wife has made herself ready at the judgment seat, and everything set apart and set aside, and we're one in Him. Are you hearing me? It all comes together right here. As Paul wrote to the church, it's of one new man. Yeah. One body, one new man. Where? In Christ. Are we okay? Talk to me. Are we understanding where I'm at tonight? All right? There on the paper, I got the fellowship of the mystery, the church, the body. All right? Now, let's look here at verse 11 again. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. See, we didn't have access before. Well, can I tell you, all the Jews didn't either. All the Jews didn't have access. They could only go so far. We couldn't go as far as they could go, and they couldn't go all the way. Are we okay? Because of the tabernacle, the only one that could go all the way was the high priest. And he was acting as a type of Christ. Okay? So when that veil was rent from top to bottom, and equal access was given to the Jew and the Greek, that it made it for whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. That they come in as that one new man, the church, the body of Christ. There's not a say over in Acts, what it's Acts 20, that he purchased the church with his blood. The church, not the building, but the body, that one new man. Huh? Are we okay? And we have boldness and access together. See, the Jews had boldness because they had an uppity attitude. The Gentiles wasn't allowed because that middle wall of partition was there. But the middle wall of partition was tore down. We read that over in chapter 2. Are you following me tonight? Huh? And because that was done, and because the veil was rent, the Jews lost their pride. Now it just wasn't a select family of the Levites that could go in. Now every tribe could go in. Huh? Now Judah could go in. And Issachar could go in. And Dan could go. I mean, they all go. And then here come the Gentile. Here come the little dirty ones. That's us. Here come the little dirty kids. Here come the little bus kids in the Bible that rub boogers on the walls and peed their pants on the bus and all these things. I mean, that's why, huh? Right, yeah. That's not who we went and got, huh? Can I tell you that's what we are? We are the bus kids of Christ that come down into the slums of the ones that had nothing to come and pick us up and set us on a solid rock. Hallelujah tonight. Huh? That's all this. Huh? That's what this is. That's why Paul is writing how joyful, making known this mystery, the church. Huh? Now, we okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah.
Now, there in whom, in Christ, we have access, on your paper, unrestricted access by his blood, because we're heirs, joint heirs. With Christ. Now I'll let you read that scripture there. Alright. I want you to look down there at the bottom. It says we see our position. Now let me ask you, look at me. Do you see your position in Christ tonight? Can you see your position in Christ? Talk to me. You understand what I'm saying? If you're saved, you're in Christ. Now, we're not junk. Now listen to me. We're not classified as sinners no more.
Right.
Do we sin? Yes. But that's not our classification.
Right.
When I was in the mines, I was a red hat. I went in the mines as a red hat. That was my classification. I was a trainee, I was a red hat. Then after so long, I got my black hat. So I was a certified miner. But I didn't know how to run nothing yet. Not very good. So they put me on the belts so I could run a shovel. A number 4 coal shovel. So my classification was general labor. All right? And then, after a while, my classification changed again. And I was a buggy boy. All right? And then I got to be pinner operator. And then I didn't have the certification, but I had a classification because the boss said, you go shoot coal. And they showed me how to wire up the dynamite. So I shot coal. And then they said, well, won't you go ahead and be the coal drill? So what it was, they all wanted to drink coffee, and I was learning how to run everything, but I was doing all their work is what it come down to. Because my brother-in-law, John, was my boss, and he was getting the kick out on this. But my classification changed. Everybody understand? Well, here, my classification changed in this scripture. But it just changed from not being allowed to being allowed now. Are we okay with that? Now, talk to him if you understand what I'm saying. Now, we're seen not as sinners. My classification changed to saints. Now, I can have fellowship with the Father. Why? Because of the righteousness of Christ. I still don't have no righteousness of my own. Okay? That will never change in this life. I will never have any righteousness of my own. Are you following me? But I have been imparted the righteousness of Christ. And because I've been imparted the righteousness of Christ, God says now I can fellowship with Mark because I see my own righteousness in him. So me and him get along good because of Christ. Now my own, I still don't get along with him. But he don't see that no more. Because my classification changed from sinner to saint. And I'm eternally secure in Christ. That's the only way anybody is. And God fellowships with me. He forgives me for Christ's sake. Are we still okay? All right? When God sees the believer, he sees the believer. Hear me now. He sees the believer as pure as Christ. When God looks at the believer, he sees the believer as holy as Christ. When God sees the believer, he sees him as righteous as Christ. Are you listening to me? That's why you're saved. That's what happens when you get saved. Are you hearing me? Talk to me if you understand what I'm telling you. All right? How is that? Because I'm complete in Christ. All right? Now, I wrote you a little poem there. So near, so very near to God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. Huh? Think about that. That's why I'm trying to get you to understand. That's why we ought to be happy people. That's why there ought to be a shout. That's why circumstances shouldn't dictate our shout. Situations shouldn't dictate our shout because of the eternal redemption of Christ. Huh? Now, when I sin, which I do every day, my sonship is intact because my sonship is based upon the righteousness of Christ. My fellowship is what's messed up. My fellowship with the Son, not my sonship with the Father, because I'm an heir and a joint heir. Talk to me. But my fellowship is broken. And me and the Son don't get along when I got unconfessed sin in my life. Are you listening to me? But it does not affect my sonship. For it to affect my sonship, then God has to quit being satisfied with what Christ did. And there has to be another sacrifice. But the scripture plainly says, there remaineth not another sacrifice. There ain't no more. He's it. That Christ died once and for all, the scripture said. Is everybody okay? I'm still telling you how saved you are. Huh? Are you under? Ain't nobody. Well, I don't deserve it. No, we don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. I don't understand it. I know. That's why Paul prays now. In the paper I just give you, he starts praying in verse 13. Verse 13. Are everybody still okay? I'm going to give you a couple verses real quick here. It's the paper that I just give you. All right? Paul's encouraging them that they don't be troubled at his bonds. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation. Don't be getting down the mouth. Don't quit because I'm in trouble. Don't quit because I'm in jail. It's all for you. And that's your glory. You're going to come out on top. Huh? I mean, jail, I'm giving you the gospel. I'm making you understand that you're in this thing. But Christ, and it's going to be okay. That's going to be your glory. Don't worry about me. It's just temporary. He wasn't worried about it. And he's telling him not to worry about it. Is everybody following me? Verse 14. For this cause, this is why I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because all this for your glory, I'm just going to go pray for you now. He ain't praying for himself to be released. He's praying for them that they might get a hold of the love of Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? That they might enjoy this thing. Maybe that's where I'm from. Maybe I need to pray as Paul did. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Verse 14. Are we there?
Yeah.
I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, look what it says, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We one big family.
Yeah.
We're in this thing together.
Yeah.
Huh? We still okay? That he would grant you. Paul's praying, oh God, grant him according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in their hearts by faith, in your hearts by faith, in our hearts, in my heart. Huh?
Yeah, right.
That ye being rooted and grounded in love. And it's not your love. Huh? It's his love.
Yeah.
Huh? I ain't got no love. I ain't got nothing. He had to give me a. Huh? I ain't got no breath. He had to give me breath. I ain't got no love. He had to give me love. I ain't got no patience. He had to give me patience. In fact, he gave me love, joy, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. That's what he gave me.
Yeah.
Did he not? Are we okay?
Yeah.
Well, let's quit. I don't